Hi, my name is Craig Wilson. Welcome to Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by South Africa's technology news leader at techcentral.co.za. In this episode, we're bringing you a very special interview with Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak. Stay tuned.
Switchboard. Why, hey, Sunshine. Let me transfer you. Please hold. Switchboard. Why, I'm just peachy. Thanks for asking. Please hold. Switchboard. Oh, dang. He's just stepped out of his office. Can I transfer you? Please hold. Bill! It's your wife!
Times have changed. So should your PBX. Get Virto from Vox Orion, a hosted IP PBX for your business available from only 65 Rand per user per month. For more info, SMS your name to 45678.
And we'll call you.
So, Tech Central editor Duncan McLeod sat down with Steve Wozniak in Johannesburg for an exclusive interview with the online media and asked the computer industry legend for his views on the mobile platform wars, the patent disputes between Apple and Samsung, the post-PC era, and lots more besides.
I actually wanted to ask you a sort of first question about the whole mobile platform war we're seeing at the moment between iOS and Android in particular. I just wanted to get your views on how you think that's going to play out and whether you think platforms like Windows Phone from Microsoft and BlackBerry are going to survive, or do you think they're going to be two dominant platforms going forward in the form of iOS and Android?
Sure. That's more like questions on the business side.
Sure.
Which I'm not really too up on, but I've certainly been through a lifetime of seeing,
sure,
you know, other tech businesses come and go. As far as Android goes, when it first came out, it definitely looked substantial to iOS on the iPhone. And it was easy to say, well, the iPhone is definitely better. You know, it's just easier, it's smoother, it seems to fit the human way of doing things. More of an Apple product. Mm. But I know the guy behind Android extremely well.
Okay.
Longtime good friend. I was on the board of another company he had making early generation smartphones. That was back when smartphones, you know, would do the internet, and they would do the browsing, and they would do the email, but they really weren't set up like a computer. They didn't feel like a computer in your hand. The iPhone was the first.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, this guy is a total Apple head.
Okay.
He thinks with why the Macintosh was good and easy to use and better for users in a lot of human ways than Windows, for example.
Mm.
So now I'm seeing that Android is really moving very much in good steps towards being easy to use. Whereas I always criticized Windows. I could use my Macintosh well,
yeah,
and I hated using Windows. I don't have that feeling about Android.
Okay.
I, as a loyal Apple person, I really wish that Apple had taken steps to maintain the lion's market share. And that the reversal that's happened hadn't happened. And you know, the trouble is it's hard to second guess. You go back and you say, what could Apple have done? The only suggestion I would have had is if the iPhone had been just as great a product as it was, but more open.
Okay.
And if Apple had been more open on their whole iOS and doing things like trying to share. Well, look at iTunes. Apple became a huge company when it shared iTunes with the world, not with just the 5% Macintosh market share.
Yes.
So we shared it with Windows, and then everyone in the world could buy an iPod, and it made it double the size of our company with iPods. And it was a big lesson, and it has really led to the entire generation of successful iProducts.
Mm.
We now had a huge start and an audience in music.
Yes.
So, and that led even into the phones. Well, why don't we have iTunes on Android? In other words, we should sell our music platform anywhere we can. It would still be optional. We're not forcing iTunes on anyone, but it would be optional so that people who like iTunes for music would have it on any platform.
Do you think Apple's become a bit like the Microsoft of old in terms of trying to protect itself and creating these proprietary platforms? Or would that be going too far?
You know, I didn't pay attention to the business side of things back then,
okay,
and how Microsoft worked.
Sure.
Microsoft was, they felt that they were so huge as far as just an enterprise, and they didn't really have to innovate as much. That's more of how I thought of Microsoft. Not that they, I don't know what you were saying, but...
Do you think Apple may be falling into those same traps that Microsoft fell into back then? I mean, Apple is a much bigger, more powerful company today than it used to be there back then.
Apple certainly hasn't. We haven't seen that yet.
Okay.
The Apple products have been pretty much life changers for everyone, and I hope that continues, because sometimes what happens is you develop some big markets, and you just get to knowing what kind of product improvements you can make every year or every couple of years, what kind of product improvement, and you'll have the good products that will sell into that market. That's how Apple operated, though, when it was down. And the big change from when it was down to when it came back up with Steve Jobs was thinking out entirely new products done in new, different ways than ever before. For example, like I said, phones. That I had quite a number of phones myself that could easily do my email and access the internet. And I had friends that went around tapping and, with their styluses and using these products too. And all of a sudden the iPhone came out, and you just knew that it was done the way computers were done. The software on it said this is just really a computer platform and not a little miniaturized, tiny bit of, just for little, mostly text. And, it was more... The whole computer world was here. So that was a big innovation in our lives. Things like the iPhone 4, just the shape, the size of the product, the enhancements to iOS and the apps from Apple were outstanding. I still look at how much of a phone is packed into what small volume on the iPhone 5.
Yeah.
And it's the world leader for that volume thing. I kind of, part of me wishes that Apple had not been so, arrogant and feeling we're the only ones with the right clue. And I wish they had made wider versions, small and a large version of the iPhone. Hmm. Would have been great for me. So keep the aspect ratio the same, horizontal and vertical the same, but just grow it the other way. I think Apple got tricked itself and said, you can reach everything with one thumb. And I don't see anybody having any trouble using the larger screens. So you can do everything with one thumb. But Apple said that as a defensive move, because when the other phones came out, they all had larger screens. And now Apple had to get defensive. So I think Apple's now trying to run with that defense, saying, we are right. Mm-hmm. And really, there's a mix of people. Not all people want the same thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of people really like the big screens. And here's where it bothers me. I walk into my phone stores, AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, and I see all the modern smartphones, big, 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 and then there's the iPhone. And if you compare the screen size right there in front of you, whether it means much or not, it may even be fewer pixels, less information on screen, you get a feeling you're getting more with a larger screen.
Sure. Do you think that Apple is going to be able to keep
it? And that talk doesn't apply to the iPad, though.
Okay. Well, iPad Mini coming too, of course, soon.
Yeah, because the iPad always had a great price for the size of the screen. Why would you want to buy these smaller screen devices, and they looked a lot more like copies than any of the phones did, partly because the phones were kind of different sizes and sort of rounded shapes on your hand. And, but some tablets, there are some tablets out there. I had probably the Tab 10.1 or whatever that just looks like... an iPad. You'd have to look front and back and look for a manufacturer name.
I was going to ask you your opinion on that, especially the whole Samsung-Apple lawsuit and all the patent infringement lawsuits we're seeing in the industry at the moment. What do you think of all of these patent infringement lawsuits, and what do you think it says about the state of the technology industry at the moment?
I'm a big, strong supporter of patents being very valuable and giving companies the reason to invest in research and development, like Apple. Mm. In a case like this, where you've got the big players facing off against each other, Apple, Samsung, Motorola, Google's in there somewhere, owning Motorola Mobility.
Yeah.
You got all these major players in there. Nokia's in there somewhere. It is a waste of time. And then I read today that they spent more money on the lawsuits than on R&D.
I saw that.
Well, I do know that lawyers make 10 times as much as engineers. So don't think it's this many man hours of actual work, or even as useful a work. Engineers, in my mind, do more useful work than lawyers. They just don't have their, they just don't get as much money. I wish that they had gone out and said, look, we've got a bunch of patents, you got a bunch of patents. Why don't we just work out some cross-licensing deal? And the Fran says, you've got to be willing to license something you've patented at a reasonable rate.
Yeah.
And so, you have some very clever thing, you'll get money for it on your products, and you'll get money for it on other products. It's like, you break a product into separate little inventions that are in it. And even one of those, any one of those inventions, you own that part of the profit of anybody else. That's fair.
That's always how it's worked, though, isn't it? What changed in this Samsung case?
I don't know that that's how it's always worked. That's just the fair thinking I have. I didn't really know about Fran when I came up with my fair thinking, but it's like you can't stop somebody else from using something good, but you certainly deserve the profits from that good thing if you invented it. I believe in that strongly. I wish the company said cross-license, because there are good things that companies like Samsung and HTC and Google and others have brought to the phone world. Some good things that I wish were on my iPhone. I could make my iPhone a little more beautiful in a few ways. It doesn't matter, you know, that one phone has one feature and another doesn't. Mm-hmm. That is not a reason people buy phones. It's not that, oh my gosh, some people say, the iPhone does this, and you can't do that on a Samsung. You can't do, I don't know, voice and text at the same time. That is bullshit. That's not a reason that people ever make for buying phones, that you have one feature that's worth infinite, so much you can't consider the other brand. It's marketing. The marketing of phones is so different than that. But people tend to become adhere to whatever they bought. Whichever brand they have, they want to say, mine does this one thing and yours doesn't. Mm. And therefore, mine is, it's infinite value. Mine is the only one that's any good. No, that's just bullshit. I found that when I have a product in computing and it doesn't do something that's maybe even important in my life, it doesn't matter. I can get by fine without it on any of the major products of the world. So really comparing feature to feature to feature, that's bullshit, but I just wish the companies were trying to make their products the best.
Yeah.
I think that most people would say that Apple has the greatest brand in the world, and they would also probably say Apple is really well known for its marketing, its way of introducing products and having millions of people ready to buy them. But it might be a marketing shortcoming that our market share in around the world in smartphones has dropped so much. I think it should be much higher, and it's hard to say. It's very easy for a company to support and keep the product good when it's unfragmented and fewer versions of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, Apple's always had that. That's always been Apple's direction, but that was Apple's direction even when they had their problem years, where they weren't innovating as much as just making the good product to resell into the same markets, the same business clients, the same personal clients, the same schools were buying Macintoshes every year, mm-hmm. and they were getting upgraded and they were keeping up with the world, but it just wasn't exciting us. See, Apple's got to always be the company that really excites you with something, and the shape of the iPhone 5 really, you know, qualifies that way.
Yeah. Do you think that under...
And some of the patents, of course, in the patent lawsuit.
Yeah.
You know, I dealt with patents, I dealt with copying in my life, and like the Apple II, people around the world copied it, and I saw the first copy in the United States. They Xeroxed our PC board. They copied the PC board. They plugged all the same chips in that were just bought on the open market. They copied the code. There wasn't one bit of engineering. It wasn't like they rewrote, did something new. Now, that was an outright copy. And then I see, you know, vague ideas in software patents. You know, I don't know if rounded corner rectangles is one of them. I think that, you know, the little bounce effect that Apple does, I think that's very worthy. Mm-hmm. That's worth a lot. It makes your product feel human. It's sort of like the little animation on a Macintosh when you close a window and it shrinks down into the dock. It's sort of a nice, we like a little bit of entertainment and fun when it's good visual cues.
Yeah.
We like good visual cues.
And in your view, that's
so some of those. So yeah. So some of the patents are very worthy, and I don't even know what all the patents were in that suit, but some of them seem like, oh my gosh, this just sounds too ridiculous for all time. What?
the rounded corners issue. Are you referring to
rounded corners, and a couple of the others I heard of. It's like any little 10-year-old would think of doing that. They didn't seem that super clever and original. Rounded corners has been a big part of Apple culture though for a long time, going back to the early Macintosh days. And it had to do with writing graphics code, early graphics code. And Bill Atkinson coming up with a great routine for rounded corners. I mean, I know that has actually a long history. If you look at every Apple product, just about every Apple product, rounded corners.
That's true.
So it's more a part of our company than you think.
Okay.
but still, what's it worth? A patent lawsuit, good. It's up to a jury to decide. And if you violate a patent, yeah, you should pay the price or whatever. I don't think stopping products from coming in is the right approach. The FRAND approach, a reasonable payment for using, somebody else's features, is a better way to go about it. And I think that in the case in California, it didn't match other cases around the world very closely. And I think that one might have had, it's still up in the air as to whether it'll be, re-invalidated, new trial, all that stuff.
Okay. We hear a lot of people talking about the post-PC era, and certainly in the African context, a lot of the developments around computing is mobile. As one of the pioneers of the computer industry, what is your take on it? Where do you think we're going as an industry? Are we in the post-PC era, and what does that mean for the industry? What does it mean particularly for companies like Intel and Microsoft?
Mm-hmm. We're in a post-PC era. It's not absolute.
Okay.
You're using the PC?
Yeah.
I prefer to use the PC still. We always try to make our products easier to use every generation, and PCs have a level of complexity that is higher than, I'm not familiar with the tablets of the Android type tablets, I didn't really use them, but of at least Apple's iPad as an example, and the iPhones are a lot easier and simpler. There's fewer choices that you have and fewer things you have to know. I'm more of a power user. I like to be able to open a browser window at the same time that I'm typing an email, and I can sort of look over and read a few words off as I'm typing them. So I kind of like some of the things you get with a PC. I like more memory, and I like more connectors, and I like to store my entire music library, on a terabyte. So I'm more in the laptop phase, but I don't think it's 100% post-PC. I think it's very different than in the past. PC also meant another thing. Although it was called personal computer, mm-hmm. with the word personal emphasized, really your computer was in one place in your life, usually. Even when laptops came, it was usually at work or at home. You had a couple of fixed places you would use it. And so we really never, ever in life had a mobile computer until just now. It's an entirely new category in that sense, even if it is the same as a PC. For a lot of us, a laptop became our mobile device. And you could just look at the people in airplanes, in airports, in hotels, in coffee shops, and the laptop was, in more places than before, but it still wasn't like you're walking around and it's in your pocket and you always have it. So it's just an ease of use thing. Now there are, as I was describing, different people that are used to different complexity. I'm a heavy computer user and you are, and we, like our devices, but I know a lot of people, I run into them. If you're in the technology crowd, you tend to run into everybody who knows about computers, and they're like you, and they make their choices a different way than the people you never run into. But when I run into a lot of people out there in the world, they're afraid to admit they really don't know the first thing about a computer. And I run into a lot of them at conferences that I give, a lot of businessmen, and they're kind of afraid to admit they don't know computers, and maybe older, really elderly grandparents and all that don't know much about computers, and that things like the iPad is a lot safer approach to them. They feel safe. They feel safest of all in the Apple world because it's the most protected world of all. And they aren't afraid that, oh my gosh, I'm going to be totally left out of it, because they want a simpler product. They want something that isn't different from everyone else's.
Hi, Bruce. This is Krista from Italy.
they would rather just get in with the whole crowd, and then it's less threatening. Mm. So I think that's why that market is so huge. I'd say that, you know, at least 80% of the people in the world really fit in that category of technical neophytes, you know, novitiates. And they're newcomers, and they just, yeah, the new devices are really easy to use, where a computer is so hard to look at. And you don't, even in a store, you might have a salesman showing you some things on a computer. And if you're in that crowd, you'll really get confused and not really know what he's doing and be afraid to buy it. And that's just not true with products like the iPad.
Do you think that Apple is going to be able to keep up the incredible pace of innovation that we saw under Steve Jobs' leadership, you know, with Tim Cook leading the company now? Are we going to see the same level of innovation over the next decade?
There's different scales of innovation, and some of them are incremental, but still worthy of being called innovation. And Apple really got its reputation more from hugely different products than ever before. It's really iPod, iPhone, and iPad more than anything else. Give it that reputation. It's so important in our life. The sort of work those products were so excellently done. Well, they were worked on for long periods of time with, in kind of like secret, or call it protected, research and development groups. And I'm sure that's still going on now. You know, just looking at it from the outside, I would say that there's a lot of areas that could use innovation, but if you can't, if there isn't room, innovation has not only it's how much you do, it's what it costs, and is the time right? So you can be very innovative, but Apple won't put out a product that isn't going to make profits.
Okay.
So in other words, you have to wait for the right time to put out certain innovations. Okay. Everybody talks about things like television, and it may not be that Apple is there yet. And maybe with phones, that Apple sat around for a long time and didn't have the product that was so incredibly advanced at the right point in time. You know, you could even go way back to the Macintosh and say it was most incredible innovation, you know, in our lifetime. Well, the Lisa had been before it.
Yeah.
Most incredible innovation in computers ever, but it was ahead of its time. And you couldn't make a good Macintosh for a sellable price at that point in time. And it might hurt the company a lot.
Okay. I know we're out of time. Just very quickly, the last question. Do you think that Apple's going to do a TV?
You know, I honestly don't know, and I don't even have a vision in my head of what it would be.
Okay.
So I don't even know what it means. I mean, I have Apple TV now. I think you mean like a hardware display.
Yes, yeah. As opposed to the little set-top box that they make at the moment. I mean, an actual television. There's been so much speculation around this. Do you think it would make sense for them to do it?
If they did, I think you'd say that it's Apple TV combined with the big display,
right,
all in one package.
Okay.
So that's almost a computer, though. Mm. That's a normal Macintosh computer, you know, like an iMac today. So it's very hard to say, just applied a little bit differently with a different set of apps and a different ease of use.
And would it make sense in your view? Will they do it? Too hard to tell.
I'm the wrong person to ask. First of all, I don't watch television.
Okay.
Okay? I don't watch television. A lot of reasons. So I would not be in the market. I would not even be a potential purchaser, probably.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure I have my Apple TV at home, so I could take a few iTunes movies and play them on my big TVs. But
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not...
Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate chatting with you.
All right, sure. Yeah, covered a lot.